Lord, I know there's a great blessing here. And I ask you, Lord, just to give us the strength of mind and the strength of heart, Lord, to follow through what you want to say today. We give you the praise and the glory for the way you've been in on this worship, Lord, and for this worship team. I ask you now to just let your word go forth, Lord, in its mighty power to create faith and to keep a, to have a women, Lord, for this generation that can be used, Lord, in all that you have planned for them by your Spirit. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would just turn with me quickly to Hebrews 11 and to that roll call of faith. We believe God is asking a question. Can you believe that God wants to give you your dead back again? And can you trust him to take you on that path of power and that path of faith and that journey? And you know, when we look at that roll call in Hebrews 11, where the sort of the hall of faith, the hall of fame of faith, if you look in this whole roll call, that most of those referred to are men, but the where the women are mentioned, the two female types are very interesting to me. It ends, of course, with the last example in verse 35, is women receive their dead to life again. These women are on the roll call, the hall of fame of faith. They're on this heavenly roll call. Women who could receive their dead back to life again. But what's really interesting to me is who is mentioned just before the women who received their life, their dead back, raised to life again. Who is mentioned? What female is mentioned just before? And we go all the way up to verse 31. And it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. She perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, there's a very interesting coupling here. You know, all this morning, God is speaking to us because the end result is that he wants women of faith who are called to be a deliverer to their nation. But in order to really know the times and to be really used, God doesn't just have us praying for a nation. God takes us to the very center of our own heart. He deals with our heart while he still has us praying prayers. He wants us to deal with him in complete honesty and complete trust. You know, you can only share your innermost heart with the people you trust. You can't unburden yourself to everyone. And yet when the church did not want to dwell in light and truth and trust with God, that is where we begin to lose out with him. We begin to walk a religious charade. And God has to withdraw himself so that he gets our attention. And everything we're talking about today is that God says, I have a call on your life, Esther. I have a call on your life, but you have to go my way. And you have to do things my way. Because, you see, God is breaking that spirit of Vashti, a spirit of the only way that women can have authority is to be under authority. If we are under authority, then we are in authority. We have authority. And there is a very strategic and very clear way of how female spiritual leadership is exercised in the church. How a heart of, that God is calling a woman to use her with authority. A female Joseph. And a Joseph, of course, when he had that dream that everything stood up, he stood up and everything bowed down to him, that was a type of God giving him spiritual authority above his brethren. God wants to give spiritual authority to women. But there's a pattern. There's a way that it is done. And we have to line up ourselves with Scripture and become in agreement with God in order for God to use us. And so we're looking today at all the ways that's going to culminate in what is the heart of a deliverer and what are the rewards of a deliverer? What is the heart of a woman God can fully use in a full measure of the call in your life, what he's asking you to do? As much as we would like to, as raw recruits say, here am I, Lord, send me. We can't be used till we're trained in righteousness. Till our mind and our heart and spirit have been harnessed by this word and then lit up by the Spirit of God and given power. And when we look at the roll call of faith, we have women who receive their dead raised to life again. But before that, we have the harlot Rahab. And the interesting thing to me is, of course, she's in the whole story of Joshua. Joshua is a deliverer. Joshua is a type of a deliverer that you and I can look into his life and learn from. But she's inside the Joshua story. She's kind of hidden there, except Hebrews 11 starts to light her up and say, look at this, look at this, look at this life. There's something very important here. And here is Joshua, and his word is be strong and be very courageous. If ever there's a word for us, it is be strong and be very courageous. Now, the reason we need that is because as we are being used of God in the full capacity that he has ordained for you, there are two actions going on. There is the inward work of the heart. That's going to be Rahab. There is the outward work of speaking the word of God, of living in our times, hearing the voice of God and speaking what it is he's saying. That's Joshua. And they both happen at the same time, except Rahab is hidden in the story of Joshua. Our hearts and how God is dealing with us is hidden in the battle and in the work of how God uses women in the end time, like a Joshua, who received their dead back to life again. And the Rahab story is like this. She receives spies. She receives them with peace. But if we think about this story, she receives spies with peace. They come to her home. And she knows that they serve the living God and her heart is burning. She wants that relationship. And they basically tell her, if you do this, you hang out the cord. It's a symbol of your salvation. This is what you'll do to be saved. You will be saved. It's a type of salvation. And then a woman who's godly, and she says this, when I send you away in peace, you spies, the next time I see you, you are part of a returning army to demolish where I live. She sends spies away. She's received what they had to say. She gets saved. And now she says, the next time I see you, you will be with a returning army. You will be armed and you are committed to the destruction of the place where I lived. You see, Rahab lived on a wall that had to come down. And Rahab had to agree with it. Rahab had to agree with the destruction, with the tumbling down of a place that she had called home, of a lifestyle, of an understanding. There was something where she actually planted, made her living, had her manner of living, and it had to come down. Now, it's easy for us, in a sense, to say, well, yes, she was a harlot on that wall. Of course that has to come down. Yes, of course, all the known sin has to come down. And God will be faithful to give us that victory if we want it. But I'm talking now the inward place. There's an inward house we build on a wall, and we don't realize, my friends, how much we live on a wall doomed in God's way to say that has to come down, and we have to be in agreement with it. That God will send us people with a word, and it's burning in us, and we know they are sent from God, and we know our salvation is this way. We know this is the way out. We are trusting in the blood. We put out that red cord, but we have to say, I am in agreement with certain places that need destroying. I didn't know that it had to be destruction. Maybe Rahab thought she was going to be able to sneak out. Maybe she thought she was going to have to, in the cover of night, she could escape Jericho and all the oppression it meant in her life. But no, her word was, you have to stay on this wall and you have to agree to everything that God has to do in our hearts. And I was thinking, Lord, what places have you had to visit? You know, as women, what places do we need to be visited? Unbeknownst to us, God says that has to come down. And I was thinking, you know, when we want to be used by the Lord, there's very strong religious spirits that come. And they want to build a house of pride in our mind and our heart. And we don't often realize that that is there. And the fruit of pride is an unteachable spirit. And I know that. I know that. I know that. But we're still living on a wall that God has destined for destruction. And it's like when God sends his word, says, in order for me to use you, in order for you to be saved and take all your house with you, you have to agree to its destruction. You have to come into agreement with me. And a lot of times we've tried to walk with God without being in an agreement with God. We may have thought we were in agreement with him, but we didn't realize that when certain situations came, much like the spies, you know, undercover and at night, that prodding at night, 10 minutes after the conversation, this small, still spy, this small, still voice comes, speaks to us, says, that has to go. That has to come tumbling down. And then maybe our reason kicks in, and our arguments and our excuses kick in, and we are not really in agreement with God that that's what it is. It might, you know, they provoke me. It's the situation. It's, you know, we don't realize how much things are entrenched. And yet Rahab is listed in the hall, face honor roll, because she was a woman who could agree to God even when it meant the destruction of the place where she lived. The house that she had built in her mind or her heart. If God came to her with that still small voice like a spy and says, this is where you live on this matter. Then she bent her knee and meant salvation for me and salvation for my house. Meant agreement with you, Lord. And this woman so courageously put herself and said, God, I thank you, you found me out. You found out where I live. And you say that where I live blocks the entrance into the promised land. And that in your incredible love, you've sent an army to destroy it. Now, I'm talking here to women of faith. I'm talking to women here who say, God, use my life in the absolute way you've destined for me. What it is fully you have for me. And he said, would you be a woman of faith? Would you join the roll call of faith? Then you'll have a heart like Rahab. And you'll be in agreement with me. And I will come to you and I will be faithful and I will illuminate where you have built your comfort zone or where you have built your vision of yourself or your image of yourself or how God will use you or what God will do in the next meeting. No, God says that all has to come down because I'm having you join an army that marches into the promised land. A place, you know what the promised land is? Where we can believe the promises. It's as simple as that. Marching into the promised land is where I can believe you. God, you will be with me. You say that the land before me is mine, wherever my feet trod. But God, if you are coming to my Jericho and you're saying this place where I live in my mind, this vision of myself and the role I play, God, if it's none of you, demolish it. Give me the courage to say whatever, oh God, I've built up in my mind and it's not in agreement with you, speak to me, Holy Ghost, and give me the courage. Let me be strong enough to say, God, I see now you say that has to come down. My pride, my unteachable spirit, how God wants to move, the ministry he's giving me, my place in the body, what it is I'm being called to do. Beloved, true faith is when we say, God, whatever, if I perish, I perish. My life is on the line in this, the way that you point for me to serve my generation. God, I bend my knee to that because I'll find you there. I'll find your heart for me there first. We can only communicate what's lit us up. If God has come and lit us up and all of a sudden we understand that it's a calling to serve any place he points out and we get in agreement with that and we let other things be destroyed of what we thought was ministry or what we should do and we let that come tumbling down. We enter into the promise of God and we enter in and not alone either. And we know we're marching with an army. And we're marching against an enemy appointed for defeat. But if we still hold to the wall and say, I like this vantage point, I like being seen, I like everybody, you know, it doesn't work that way. And so Rahab is speaking to us within the Joshua story. Now, of course, the Joshua story is still ours, where God is saying, you're entering the promised land. By faith, you are going in. You have been brought through the wilderness, we heard it this morning, of unbelief. Where the only thing that dies in the wilderness, if we're being led of God, is our unbelief. The purpose of the wilderness is that our unbelief go. And when that's been dealt with, when God takes us to the promised land and says, can these children, can this son live? Can this daughter live? Can I use you? Do you believe I can give you a prayer life that is not just, you know, putting in time and, you know, putting in the card and pulling it back out, like clocking the time? No, it's a prayer life, not a prayer time. You believe I can do that? Can I resurrect that your joy is you have such a redefined vision of what prayer is now? It's not work. It's not putting in time. It's not completing the list. No. It's something deeper, sweeter, better. Can I do that for you, the Lord's saying? Can I tear down every other understanding you have of prayer or service or women's work? Scripture says God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. When I speak to women, I find a very deep prejudice in the heart of women against women. I find women are the most prejudiced against other women. Lord gave me a message not too long ago. You know, it says in Luke where the women came and they ministered to Jesus out of their substance. And I felt myself inside like, oh, sort of shrink down. Oh, yes, of course. I guess some of them had resources. You know, they had money and gave it to him. Or some did the washing and some stirred the rice. I don't know. They ministered to Jesus. That's what they did, right? But the exact same words that says, and these women ministered unto Jesus, are the exact same words in the Greek where it says, after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, that angels came and ministered under him. And all of a sudden, oof, well, when the angels came to minister to him, I mean, it was glorious. It was awesome. There was substance to that. There was power in that. That was heaven on earth. And I went, oh, my goodness. Look at the prejudice in my heart. I, who am called to minister to women. And it's like, if the angels do it, it's amazing. If the women do it, why all of a sudden the exact same words? Why all of a sudden did I all of a sudden its value shrunk because women did it? I said, Lord, now when you're on earth, the first time, before you had a public ministry, before you were known to men, men meaning mankind, you chose angels to come. But when the fullness of time and you, after the wilderness, you went and had a public ministry, then you chose women to minister to you. So it seems to me your choice was angels or women, angels or women. And I realized, you know, when angels ministered to him, that they brought to him, just their presence brought him comfort. And beloved, when you're in your right place, your presence brings more than you know. You have no idea what your presence means. First, because you're loved and his presence goes with you. Your presence means something. Do you know the Lord looks for you? Your presence means something. Another thing, when angels came and ministered to him, they had no resistance in their heart to what his will was. And I began to see that, God, you are going to give women a heart of faith to have that same thing. That when we come to minister you, there's no resistance in our heart to what you're going to ask us to do. If you say go to the left, we go to the left because it's a relationship. If you say go to the right, we go to the right. And you value us. There's a right valuing of women in the heart of Christ. And he chose them to minister to him. It was angels or women with him. And we have to say, Lord, I am not going to have the right frame of mind or attitude if in my heart there is prejudice against women. And you have to come and you have to, as you are, no respecter of persons. And I have to let you go deep, and this will go deep, because that's there, yes, of upbringing and culture and education, the way we were raised, and our mothers even, and grandmothers. The Lord knows why it is all there. But the Lord has come to reestablish a right valuing of what we do when we minister. Why did Christ value it? And why was we his choice after his, when his ministry became public? And we need to think on these things, because as we rightly value our salvation. That's why we started today with rightly valuing the salvation that we've been given. And the more that we rightly value this incredible salvation, what really happened to us when we got saved? What is really the spiritual transaction that has happened? And what authority do we have because we are saved against our enemy? But then it's got to march all the way along the line till every hidden part of our heart, every place not made right by light and truth. You see, he's going to be in the business putting us right, that we can be used rightly and in power. And so we have a Joshua call to be strong and be very courageous, to be, have this wonderful touch with each other, that we're safe with each other, that we rightly value each other, that we have this right valuing that comes from the heart of Christ, and we're not quick to judge and we're not quick to speak. Beloved, we're an army under orders, and we've got to have that strong-mindedness that it takes when we're in boot camp and in training. And that we understand that the woman on my left or right in a time of warfare might be my sword when my sword arm is down. In David's army, they had to learn to be able to fight left-handed and right-handed. That means where I'm the weakest, I've got to learn to fight. No just right-handed fighting in this army. And God, you know, a lot of times he'll tie our hands behind our back, so that we keep picking up the sword, the word, with our weak hand to give it strength. You've been honored if you're fighting on your left side, or if you're left-handed on your right side, on your weak side. When I am weak, then I am strong. We're finding out who it is that goes with us into battle, where he's saying, be strong and very courageous. The things you didn't think you could do, you didn't think you could love, you didn't think you could forgive, you couldn't believe you could move in faith, you didn't believe you could stand up and say that to those people full of love, that you couldn't humble yourself, that you couldn't stay under authority. What good is an army if it's not under authority? If when the commander says move, we stand up and move out, or don't offer, excuse me, you know, I really think we should wait till Tuesday. The weather will be better. Mm-mm. No. An army under authority. An army that can move with Joshua. An army that is told, be strong and very courageous. And yet at the same time, never be more tender or loving in your whole life, especially to your sisters. Get healed and get whole where you have prejudice in your heart, one to another. You know, when we just sent at our church, we sent a group to Alabama to build houses. And it was a group of men, and they went to build houses. And then they came back with their praise report. And then there was another group of women, and they were going to go and they were going to work with women in a group home, and they were going to, you know, take care of their kids, give them a break. They were going to sew curtains. They were going to share recipes and for single mothers in this group home. And yet the leader of that group told me, oh, I'm really hoping that we don't have to get up and give a praise report of what our ministry did. It's like, that is so strange. Why would you want to do that? Because this is where we have to get healed. It's like if the men built houses, that's That's mission work. That's ministry. If we go to sew curtains and do something else, that's not real ministry. That's such a lie, isn't it? That's such a lie. A wise woman builds her house. How many men? You know, the interesting thing is, the man would have went, right on, sister, that's awesome. That's great. I wish you'd teach my wife to sew curtains or whatever. But they would think, that's wonderful. You're going to go give single mothers a break. You're going to pour into their lives. That a wise woman builds her house. That's an awesome thing. And training them to do that, that's true ministry. Why would she hang her head and say, no, building the physical house is the real ministry. What we do is less. No, 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 no. We can't join the army with that thinking. That has to be destroyed. That wall has to come down. When Joshua entered the land, he assigned positions and portions to everyone. And some places like Manasseh had a huge amount of land, and some like Benjamin had a very small plot of land. And you've got it. You've all had those maps in the back of your Bible where the land, Old Testament Israel is all divided up according to tribes. And we look at it, and it's very obvious. There's little places and big places. And we come into, with Joshua, and we come into the land of promise, where God is saying, I want now to be able to use you fully. And I'm going to give you allotment. I'm going to give you a portion. And I want you to go in, and I want you to take that land. And wherever your feet trod spiritually, I want you to know that the Lord of hosts, he is with you, and he's given you this land. And I want you now to be able to pray believing prayers that come in agreement with me. You agreed to the wall being demolished. Now I want you to come into agreement that this land is yours, and the souls in it are yours. But you know what some people start to do? They start, instead of occupying the land, they start measuring it. And they go, you know, my allotment is only this big, and her allotment is that big. And they get completely sidetracked by the enemy. And they start comparing and sizing up how much I've been given to do in the kingdom, and what is my role in the kingdom. Well, first of all, can I tell you that Benjamin was the smallest, and it was at the heart of everything, where Jerusalem was. Oh, let's not measure what God has given us to do. Let's occupy it. Let's fully enter it. Let's come into agreement with God. Let's say, well, all the souls. You know, that means there were strategic people in Benjamin. There were strategic places in your ministry, in what God's calling you. There's strategic people that only you can win. That God's going to give you a heart for some young guy that is destined for destruction. And not take himself down alone. And you are going to be brought into his life. And you're going to be granted favor first, because you're going to start to pray for him. God's going to grip your heart, and you don't know why. But you begin to cry tears, and you begin to long over him like a mother of Israel. And you don't realize how strategic it is. And finally, God is going to allow you an authority and a voice into his life. And you are occupying the land, and you are something amazing is happening. And if we don't rightly value it, if we always measure it, and we don't occupy it, we will be held accountable. I was walking down a street in New York one day, and I was about to cross the road, and I noticed a little boy, and he seemed two, and no adult with him. So I stood there for about 20 seconds and watched where he was going. Finally, an adult claimed him. And I turned around and I kept walking down the street. I was delayed 20 seconds when all of a sudden, from the sixth floor of a building, this huge window with a wood encasement came spiraling down and smashed to 100 million pieces. 20 steps, I would have been underneath it. But I could honestly say, when I got home, and I was so shocked, I froze. The man in front of me, he crossed the street and almost had a heart attack. But I could honestly say, if people asked me that day, so what happened today? I could honestly say, nothing. What happened today? Nothing. Nothing happened. Nothing of note. I was prevented. Somehow, I was not. The path I was on, I lie not. I was 20 seconds away from eternity. You know, when you're in your spot, there will be people that the calamities, that the pain, that the destruction, that the jaws of hell won't swallow them up because you're in your spot. And they could honestly say, well, nothing's ever happened in my life like that. Oh, if they only knew. What you in your place, what you in your call, what you hearing a voice from heaven, and you in agreement with God and not arguing, and me not arguing with them, and not measuring and saying, oh God, I delight to do thy will. That's the heart of Jesus. You've been given power to say, I delight to do thy will, O God. And sometimes we have to faith it or fake it before we faith it. I hope my Americanism didn't chew that really great line up for you that you didn't get it. Yeah, sometimes we have to fake it as we're faithing it. But I delight to do thy will. Oh, that's how we go into the land. And that's how we begin to occupy. That's where we begin to get a heavenly vision. That's what marked Esther. She was a woman who could see. She was a woman who could see the times. Maybe she didn't want to. You know, she didn't set out to say, I'm going to crown myself queen and I'm going to be a deliverer. No, events shaped her life, just like they shape your life. Events shape your life. You don't set out a long time to crown yourself, and this is what I'm going to do in the kingdom. No, God has an appointed place and a time of ministry for you. And when we look at that life of Esther, we're going to see so clearly how this woman was enabled to see. But we have to want to see. It's easy to live in the palace and say, that's too big, it's too dark. We have to want to be able to see. But when we move into the land that God has appointed, the place of ministry God has appointed for you, there's something of divine excitement and energy because we begin to see. We begin to see the possibilities. We begin to see an enemy appointed for defeat. Deborah could see an enemy appointed for defeat and no one else could. She was in a tree. She was in her spot, in her place, under a tree. She was praying. She got the mind of God. And even though 900 iron chariots roamed the land in Israel without a weapon, that did not deter her from being able to see above the situation and saying, oh God, give me eyes to see. And God gave her eyes to see. This day, an enemy appointed for defeat. Rise up. I know how to defeat him. I need a voice. I need someone praying. I need somebody believing me. I need somebody worshiping me. I need somebody who's going to have words from heaven that's going to create faith in the ears of the hearer. And something springs up in the heart of people under the sound of her voice because she's in her right place and able to see. And God give this generation. God give this generation of women who won't back away from the call. Who will say, what's ever appointed for destruction in my life, let it happen. And then don't let me run away so I don't see because it feels too big. It's too scary. Now, if you're in your place and you're saying, God, lead me into the promised land that I'm to occupy. Thank you. You'll give me the ability to be faithful and the ability to see and the ability to pray God-honoring prayers by your Spirit. And so the outward work and the inward work will go on at the same time. And don't be afraid. Don't be confused. When the inward work is, sometimes it feels like you're in the middle of a storm. That's all right. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to create a heart of faith. He knows how to create an Esther. He knows how to, the pastor prayed in training for reigning. That's probably something you're very familiar with. First time I ever heard it. In training for reigning, that's what's going on in our heart. Do we believe it? Do we believe this today? Can we agree with God, even when it means something that maybe we cherish has to be destroyed? An understanding, the pride, the unteachableness, the holding our own, the clinging on to a grievance, being right and yet still being wrong. No, God has something so much better, so much richer for us. As I said this morning, we're called to touch another generation, and we will. When the inward work done in us is real, they're not looking for perfection, but they are looking for something real that has power in it. Reality is always more attractive than fantasy. A real woman of faith, a real mother in Zion. Will you stand with me? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you who see everything anyway. We can come, Lord, and every place, Lord, not made perfect yet by your love, we can offer to you. And you don't cast us away. I thank you, Lord, you're committed to demolishing places where we have built up and we live in a place that you say must go. Only, Lord, to take that down, that we perish not, that we may join a victorious army, that we may enter a promised land. We thank you, oh God. You put Rahab in the roll call of faith, a real woman and a real story. And yet she dead is still speaking to us. I thank you for that woman's courage, the guts she had. And God, how you amply rewarded her. How you put her, Lord, in the lineage of that some of her blood flowed in the veins of our precious Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you for that. Remind us, Lord, to be real. Lord, let us not put on a spiritual mask. Let us shun every form of spiritual pride. Let us be real with each other, loving with each other. Take down the walls where women are in competition, Lord, where women compare themselves one to another. Oh, God, that's of the enemy. Take down that wall, Lord. Let us walk in humility and love with each other. Be real with each other. Take away the spiritual mask, O God. Let us rightly esteem each other. Let us rightly esteem ourselves, O God. Thank you for this healing now in the hearts of women all over this land. May the women here, Lord, be a bearer of this truth because it's touched them. They've got an agreement with you. And Lord, you've healed them in a deep spot, places maybe they didn't even know they needed healing, except by the light of God and the truth of his word. We accept it now, Lord. Thank you. You're so long-suffering with us. I pray for women, Lord, that have suffered, God, only you know the depth of it, but they have truly suffered. And an image and wrong thinking is formed, Lord, because of betrayal. Because, Lord, truly, of very bad things that have happened, oh God, while they were young, while they were being formed. But, oh God, you who love us, who put value on us and rightly value us. You're calling us out of the grave, Lord. We come today, some hopping still with the grave clothes, but you are committed. Your death and the cleansing and the power and the healing it brings, Lord, brings us through into your life. Now I pray every woman with a heart, oh God, been damaged and has caused damage, for everyone who's known pain and given pain, oh God, alike heal us. And restore us. Make our tongues the law of kindness. Make, O God, us to be women of faith that can truly rejoice in other women being used and truly rejoice in seeing a woman aflame for God, not comparing herself and not getting insecure, but understanding and rejoicing how God uses whosoever will, and that you've promised to pour out your spirit upon your handmaidens. Oh God, may we find women in an army, God, that can stand side by side and not run through each other with a sword, but truly learn to fight side by side, covering each other's weakness and encouraging each other. God, forgive us, for truly we have been guilty of this, oh God. Truly, we have not had a Rahab spirit, O God. We've wanted to pretend we're not Rahab. We've wanted to pretend, oh God, the enemy has not had his hands all over us and our minds concerning this. We've not wanted to admit who we were in this area. But God, by your grace, you took this woman, you put her in the example, and you've put her in the honor roll of faith. You say this is true faith. God, we must go through this door if we would be used in our generation. So thank you. We agree with you. And we agree to the healing. We agree to the new mind that comes with it. And a new spirit and a new love. And being able to join an army very usable. We're being made usable. Fighting with our right hand and our left. Because we know we were Rahab. And its strongholds have been demolished. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the healing and the power in this moment. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Those of you who've heard me speak know that I always go back to Revelation 12, where it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. And you know what, if you've heard me before, what's coming next? That word testimony comes from the Greek word martyria, from which we get our word martyr. And when Teresa was sharing about the wilderness, and I thought, yeah, that's when the word comes, there's a death. Something's going to have to die for the word to live. You know, and just really to, at this stage, before Teresa comes on with the next part of the word, to say it's a good death. You know, it's good. Some things have to die for life to come. And so the word is coming. And the word isn't ending at 4 o'clock today. The word is going to live in us. But the word needs that room where there is things that need to die. The testimony of Jesus needs to rise up in us, which is the amen to the specific word he's birthing in us. And it's individual and it's corporate. You know, and thinking about it's women who are here today. You know, even when we have babies, even in the 21st century, there's still a risk of death, isn't there? Some more than others might, you know, have babies, but there's a risk attached. And yet, we're usually willing for the joy set before us, for that word to come forth, for that child to come forth. And that's really, I think, what's being formed in us today. We may not even in our minds comprehend what's happening in the spirit, because what's happening is when words go forth, our spirits respond, our minds have to catch up. So don't worry if you think, I can't remember everything Teresa's saying. Your spirit can. Your spirit is receiving all of these words, and they are life to you, and they are food to you, and they are goodness. And that goodness destroys the badness. So death comes where it needs to come. And as someone well known in this country used to say, let's die quietly. You know, we're all dying. So let's die quietly so that life might come forth. You know, we can spend a lot of time moaning about how we're dying. You know, and what the Lord's doing in us. You know, we're working through it and we're under it. Let's die quietly and let's die joyfully, because the stuff that's dying is actually in the way of life coming forth. So Lord, thank you that we want to be a women who are willing to get pregnant again with your word. That the word will become flesh in us. And the word will come forth from us, and it will live, and it will fulfill its purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everything is tied up in your word, that you are the expression of the Father. And in that expression is all the purposes of God from eternity long, individually and corporate. All the purposes of God are tied up in the Word who is within us. And at this time on earth, for our generation, those who live on earth today, part of that eternal plan is being revealed to our spirits. And the question is always, what will we do with it? And whenever we get a word from God, to me there's only two questions we need to answer. What does this mean? And what must I do?